All right, let's go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Let's go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Well, thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening by the truth of your word. We start with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare together at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Matthew's Gospel 18. Matthew's Gospel 18. Go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. And let's just see a few things like we've said over the last few years. Few weeks. Christian meetings. Matthew's Gospel 18, all the way in verse 20. So it says, for where two or three are gathered together, in my name there am I in the midst of them all, where two or three are gathered. So we said that the word their name there, we'll just speak about his presence, his authority, his reputation. That's the reputation of Jesus Christ. So name should not be seen as J-E-S-U-S. Yeah. You know, we grew up using J-E-S-U-S to do all manners of things. Excuse me, for brides and grooms that want to kiss themselves, for birthday cakes, for anniversary cakes, for whatever, you know, different things, basically, right? But you must understand that when scripture uses the word name, you need to pay attention. Not at any time would it, you know, refer to the letters that are being used, you know, other than the meaning, the function, the implications, and what have you. So it says, wherever two or three, or where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Okay, right. We know we've picked that narrative, explained the predecessors. I didn't just say predecessors, right? No, the pretext. Wow, the pretext, okay? And we look through what I was talking about, you know, when someone offends you, go there alone, go there with another, with one or two, then go there with the church, then if nothing happens, leave us here, right? So we went through all of that to pay attention to, you know, the narrative of forgiveness in Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. So when Matthew's Gospel 28, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power and authority is given unto me. All power, that's what authority, rather, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and, you know, teach all nations, and what they teach is to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So we said the word they're teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you will be based on what he has taught, the precedence of what he has laid, the foundation of what he has laid. And it says, lo, I'm with you, which is the emphasis, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of time. And we also spoke about how eschatology would only make sense with the proper grasp of theology, pneumatology, so to say, and Christology particularly, right? So we look through all of that, and what we're trying to do with this particular series is just to see the importance of meetings. And this series is going to move into, you know, our next series of conversations. I think this year, I want us as much as possible. Now, I said something last week or a couple of weeks ago. So one of the reasons why you're seeing me pay attention to certain things as much as I am, or I've been doing recently, is because I don't want a situation where that certain things are not taught will be an excuse for people not to be able to know certain things, which eventually will prevent them from optimizing or making the best use of their of your attendance, your relationship, your discipleship as a member of God's palace. I'll say that differently, right? You know, I said that I noticed that lots of people who benefited mightily from the, you know, anointings, the gifts and the giftings of God on the life of my father, my parents, were people who were particularly outside of the local church, right? Now, people within the local church as well still benefited, you know, to a very large extent, you know, but when you weigh both of them, you had more people outside, you know, you had more people outside. And, you know, as a pastor, one of the things I don't want to do as much as I can, as well, to the best of my knowledge, is to ensure that I teach certain things that makes or brings correction to ourselves. Are we together? Just so that we can have a sense of unity, a sense of alignment, and also such that people know how to behave themselves. You know, like Paul would say to Timothy, right, that you ought to know how you ought to behave yourself on the church, which is the ground and pillar of truth. Yeah, there's a mode of behavior, there's a way to behave, there's a way to, you know, relate with one another. right? So that's what I'm saying. You know, I'd used the best part of the last few years to sit on the fence on some conversations or some topics, so to say, right? You know, but I've realized mightily, even in a very short period of time, that only the four the flock, rather, the flock of Christ, which is you all who have been discipled, are the ones that I end up losing. We're together, so that's why we're trying to ensure that we bring as much correction and stability to our minds and our hearts as a local church. So we're talking about the honor for the local church, and honor for Christian meetings, honor for Christian gatherings. You know, how do we behave with ourselves? Which is what we've paid attention to particularly in this series. What exactly are Christian meetings? Well, we said wherever two or three are gathered qualifies to be a Christian meeting. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name. Altogether, it's a Christian meeting. Those are Christians. So in my name will mean on account. Excuse me. On account, rather. Excuse me. On account of his work, on account of his reputation, right? So if you look through what we've been saying over the past 4 weeks, one of the things I will ensure I will say to you is try your best to listen as much as possible, right? And I think I ended Sunday teaching by saying this. I said, right, if for any reason, right, certain things are said in this teaching and you relate to that, or you find yourself in the jurisdiction of those conversations, just act on it, okay? Just act on it. Just ensure you act on it. Just ensure you you bring correction to it, because that's what the local church is for, right? That's what the gathering of the saints is for. That's what our coming together is for. There'll be instructions, there'll be comfort, there'll be edification, there'll also be correction as well. So if that's you, I think I said it on Sunday that there's no intention for any stray bullet to anyone, to any, to any disciple or any, member of the local church, right? And if at all you see that the stray bullet is not straight, it's intentional, right? To bring correction your way, to ensure that, we make the best of our coming together, right? So we've looked through how we honor meetings. We look through how to get yourself ready for meetings, how to get yourself, blessed in meetings. I've also given you examples and multiple numerous examples of my life personally as a pastor, and also testimonies from hearing testimonies from other people, and also my life as well as a believer, right? Who treats and hold meetings, with a very high sense of honor. We're together, right? So one of these two things we'll look at today, we'll look at the various types of meetings we have, which we started looking at two Wednesdays ago, and we'll look at how to prepare for meetings, and we'll look at that properly again on Sunday. Okay, so we started looking at the various types of meetings we have, but before then, we started looking at how we respond in meetings, how we ensure that we get our hearts in a place of of sincerity, number one, simplicity, number two, a place of concentration as well, right? I've given you examples of meetings that I've gone to that have changed the course of my life, and the meetings that I've gone to, like I said, that is the only reason why you are here today listening to me, right? Yeah, there are certain things that have been said into my life, into the lives of my parents, through my parents as well, to myself, and also through various gifts and giftings that we have all around the body of Christ, in our world, both in the past and even today, right? I've told you about special meetings I've gone for, give you examples of what happened, for instance, on Sunday, looked at Chronicles and what happened and how the priest could not stand because of the glory of God, and how there's a tangible glory of God you can feel in an atmosphere. You see, if you're someone who in your Christian faith, there are certain experiences, certain tangibility you've not experienced in your Christian faith, in your walk, in your prayer life, yeah, the only thing that is missing is the fact that you have not placed as much honor as you need to. Now, let me say this very carefully. Sometimes what puts us in dishonor is I want to trust them in a safe space, and whoever will listen to this feels it's safe as well, right? A lot of times what put us in that place of dishonor is our ability to think. I'm using that carelessly, right? Sometimes we think, and because we try to logicalize everything, right? In logicalizing everything, we now stray away from certain truths, or let me say differently, stray away from certain experiences. Altogether, there are people, for instance, who you will never have them. You don't have an experience. For instance, you've not heard yourself cry in the place of prayer, both privately, both publicly. You've not heard yourself, and I'm not talking about crying because you are thinking of they want to evict you from your house or because something happened to you. I'm talking about crying passionately for souls, for hearts, for people, you know, who are perishing, and, you know, having your emotions involved in your worship. For instance, you know, having experiences of tangible glory of God, you know, being able to receive of God's gifts, God's power. You know, a lot of times, more often than not, it's just because of that logical. I remember that there's somebody, for instance, I'm going to flip away from that. Yeah, but ensure that, you know, we have a brain to think, right? It's godly to think. It's godly to reason, right? You know, but one of the things I found out, which was an extreme that, you know, I need to even caution myself from and bring myself back to, is, you know, that extent of trying to, you know, analyze every single thing to the point that I'm not even now being able to be blessed from supernatural experiences that I could possibly be having as a believer, right? It's very important for you to just know where to draw the line, to just know, you know, and to know that there are gaps. I would get that there are gaps, there are things you will not be able to explain. The Christian faith needs to be explained. I would get that. But the truth is that it's on things you will try to explain, try to say, try to, you know, make sense of it, but your logical mind will not pick it together, right? For instance, when you see some miraculous things happen, right, it will beat imaginations of man or the imagination of man. That's why it's called supernatural. Okay, so it's very important for you to know and have that heart of simplicity, ready to receive God's word. For instance, one of the things you must never lose in your Christian faith is that God's best method is man. God's method in the earth is man. Man is God's method. Are we together, right? Man is God's method. So there will be men that God will bring your way, and you have to be spiritually sensitive and intelligent enough to know how to treat a sacred. And we're together, right? Now, there'll be such a thing called you knowing the man who you are called to follow, the man who has leadership oversight over you, the man who is pastoring you, the man who is providing a meal for you to eat day in, day out, week in, week out, right? The man who serves as an example as well for you in the things of God. So you just realize that our lives are built around the concept of man. And we're together, man. Yeah, very, very important. So just ensure that no matter what the case is, no matter what the narrative is, you will hear some strange miracles that will beat your imagination, beat your mind. They're all written across scriptures. Altogether, what will you say about millions of people passing through a Red Sea? Altogether, or is it fiction? Or is it a parable? Or is it, you know, yes, we will say it wasn't literal, it was figurative to communicate coming into Canaan as a promised land. You know, some of those things are, you know, overthinking God gone wild. Right, yeah, overthinking almost becoming what's the word, right? Yeah, you just need to ensure that and that's why prayer is very important. I work together, right? Prayer is very important. Spend a lot of time praying, you know, spend a lot of time as praying as you listen to God's word, as you're studying your private space, in your private devotion. Spend a lot of time praying, it's very, very important. Very, very important. You know, I've seen people who start, you know, ideally on what we'll call the right path, the sincere path, but all of a sudden get themselves in all manners of walks and all manners of, you know, doctrinal slants and persuasions altogether. So just ensure that, you know, you in your logicalization, give room for the supernatural, give room for things that will beat your imagination. All together, right? You see that littered across all scriptures. What we say of a man who will be in a prison, all together, and in a prison that is well locked and well guarded, right? Yeah, that didn't just happen once to Jesus. You know, if we only knew the story of Jesus, it was in tomb 3 days. Afterwards, he comes out, all together, and in coming out, you know, they are searching for him. He's not there. They are looking for him. They say they stole his body, right? Okay, if that happened to him alone, they have said that was only because that was Jesus who was God in the flesh. What happens to the man Peter? Right, tied right with chain, you know, in the prison he had, you know, and an angel supernaturally gets delivered supernaturally, coming out through the prison gate and being asked to run, then going to the house where they were praying for him, then seeing a lady road at it. You just realize that those are supernatural encounters that only because you've given room, you've given a space for supernatural occurrences to happen. Are we together? Yeah. Are we together? So it's very, very important for you. So when you come to a Christian meeting is a place where there'll be order, right? But the truth is that there are some times that whilst we prepare for certain meetings, let me say it differently, a Christian meeting will prepare towards a Christian meeting. But sometimes that in our preparation, the things that God will lay on our heart might tilt or, you know, and give us a different direction or tone. as to how to operate and run that meeting. So it's very, very important for you to always remember that. Yeah. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, Bible says, forsake not the gathering of saints, right? Yeah. Forsake not the assembly together of saints, as the custom of some is, our together. So we said the word there, forsake, would actually mean not to neglect or to neglect, right? So forsake, then that says provoke one another unto love. Right, provoking one another. We say the word they provoke there means to stimulate. We say the word assembly together means like a festival, a gathering together of like a festival. We have to look through some things in Acts 1. I know that, you know, I couldn't pick it up all on Sunday because the battery of the phone went off. So I'll just run through them again. Acts 1, so ensure you cross-check the ones you wrote on Sunday. So went to Acts 1, 3, to whom he showed himself alive by after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. We saw that they were gathered together, right? Yeah, there are many things you will never experience without being in the midst of believers who have come together in the name of the Lord. Altogether, who have come together in the name of the Lord, right? So we see that he was together with them in Acts 1:3. If you look at Acts 1:14, Bible says that these all continued with one accord in prayer. Yeah, they continued with one accord. They were together in a place, one accord with prayer and supplication with the woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Acts 2 now says in Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost fully come, right? Day of Pentecost in Acts 2:1 will really mean that they were together in one place. So they were together, you know, and with one accord, Bible says, in one place. That's a Christian gathering, right? Acts 2 verse 42. Look at Acts 2:42. Right, Acts 2:42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and look at that fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers all together. Right, how many people were added to them in verse 41? 3,000 souls. Now we jump all the way to verse 46. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Altogether, right? Breaking bread from house to house. That means they had fellowship. They had interactions. Altogether, they communed together. There was communication. There was communion. There was fellowship. There was interaction. There was, you know, family meeting. Together, right? You see Acts chapter 4, for instance. Go to Acts 4. You go to Acts 4. Look at Acts 4, verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own company. Are we together? There's such a thing called your company. Are we together? Your local church, your the gathering of saints within a locality. Right? You should know your company. All right? And be proud about your company. Anyways, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, unto God, with one accord. Yeah? So another way you can read that is they lifted up their voice to God with one accord in one place. Yeah? Look at that. They went to their company and reported all the chief priest had said. Right? And in that meeting that the reporting was done, there was a lifting up of their voice, right, with one accord in one place. Altogether. So they went to their own people, their own community. That's another way to look at it. So the local church should be seen as a community. Yeah, look at Acts 5, for instance, Acts 5:11. And great fear came upon all the churches and upon as many as heard these things, right? And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's Acts chapter 5, verse 11, verse 12. And they were all together in one accord as a company, so most part. If you look at chapter 5, verse 41, hear what it says there. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at verse 42 carefully. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Yeah, they ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. So you look through the book of Acts and see the emphasis on their coming together, their gathering together, they are feasting together, they are coming into a company. They're communicating. Look at Acts 6:1. In those days, when the numbers of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the work of God and serve tables. The only reason why this was a conversation was because they were together, gathering together as a company, as a community. Right, so the emphasis in the book of Acts will show the gathering of people as a church, as a local assembly, what you call local gathering. Yeah, look at Acts chapter 9, Acts 9 31. Acts 9 31. So, what it says there, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all the all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were defied and walking in the fear of the Lord. And in comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Verse 32, and it came to pass as Peter passed through all the quarters, it came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydia. So the saints of Lydia will be people who will also meet in a local church, in a local gathering, within that community. Are we together? Right? Yeah. If we go all the way to Acts 11, Acts 11, verse 1. So Acts 11:1 says that the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, right? And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, right, that thou wentest into the men of the circumcision and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and re-explained to them what happened in the house of Cornelius or with the family of Cornelius. Altogether, look at verse 21. Acts 11:21, right? It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings, verse 2, of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas, right, that he should go as far as Antioch. 26 now says, right, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, right, and they taught much people. Yet they assembled themselves, that means they associated themselves with the local assembly, with the church, and they taught much people, and disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Altogether, right? If you go all the way to Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Acts 12, 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. So the church continued praying. That means they were meeting physically, then continued praying for the release and deliverance of Peter. You get the point? Yeah, they met collectively, not individual prayers. I would get that they met collectively. Like I said, yeah, your private devotion, individual devotion will be something that should ideally stem from the coming together of the saints, or the gathering together of the saints, or from the practice of the community, right, that we see as a local church, as a local gathering, right? So your prayer, personal devotion should actually be something that springs forth, right, from your collective devotion with the saints. And we're together, right? It's from the collective devotion that you know to have a private life, to have a private devotion, a private evangelism life, a private prayer life, a private study life, a private Christian life, and the likes, right? But it will stand on the backbone of the local assembly, local gathering. Look at Acts 13:1, a special meeting as well. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, that was Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, right? And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, excuse me. Now, mind you, yes, Saul at this point, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. Yeah, we said over time, Saul is not the former name of an ex-convict who became a Christian, then his name became Paul. No, Paul is not the Christian name for the ex-convict Mr. Saul. No, yes, Saul, Paul, same names, different cultures. Altogether, same name, different cultures. There'll be the Hebrew, there'll be the Greek, there'll be translation, which is translated to be Paul. Yeah, so, you know, when people talk about a narrative of Paul met with Jesus and that's how his name was changed, you know, it's easy to pick on the Bible. Abraham became Abraham. Ham, yeah, you know, the Ham, the H there is just a word that speaks about Elohim, right? So God, I thought about those things some years ago, right? Yeah, so God breathed his name into the Abraham, and it's then expanded to Abraham. Are we together, right? Yeah, when you have an encounter with God, your name changes. Yeah, from Israel and from Jacob to Israel. When you have an encounter with God, your name changes from Saul to Paul. Yeah, but I'm saying to you that Saul, in the real sense, is called Paul. You see, the Holy Ghost in the believers' meeting called Paul Saul. Did you see that? Yeah, look at Acts 13. At this time, he had had the encounter. He had gotten, you know, delivered. He had gotten healed. He had gotten sanctified, saved, holy, righteous, started doing the work of ministry. Yeah, the only reason why there will be a separation in Acts 13 is because Paul will already be considered as someone who is a minister. Are we together? Right? There will be certain things he already had as a precedent from time that people already knew. Yeah? So when he says, the Holy Ghost separated unto me, Paul, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work's sake. Yeah, that Saul is Paul. It's not a different man. It's the same Paul. Are we together? So the Holy Ghost, by the utterances of the prophets, will call Paul Saul. Yeah, so that was a believer. That, no, let me say different. That was a believer's meeting, which is what you call a Christian meeting, right? Which is what you can call a special meeting. Yeah, so there will be the meeting of continuous meeting daily in Acts 2:42, in Acts 4, Acts 2:42, Acts 2:46. There will be continuous daily meeting there. There will also be special meetings that were together, right? Because the truth is that between the teaching day, last teaching day of Jesus, when he preached for 40 days, and when he asked them to tarry in Jerusalem, they were having Christian meetings every day till the day of Pentecost. So every meeting they will have up until the day of Pentecost will be a special meeting. However, the day of Pentecost will be a special meeting. Till today, we are still talking of the encounter that happened in Acts 2. Right? And like I would always say, if you were not there, you were not there. You were not there. No matter how much you are told, no matter how much you are explained, if you were not there, you did not witness it. You did not witness it altogether. It's a different conversation to be there. Very, 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 very important. So in Acts 13, the minister and fasted unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. Acts 13:3. And when they had fasted and they prayed, what happened? They laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Okay? Yeah? Look at Acts 14:22. Right? It says, confirming the souls, if you go back all the way to 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Right? Now, what happens in 22? Confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, right? And that we must, through much tribulation, enter in the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them, what? Elders in every church. That means there were different churches, several churches, there were churches, and they had elders altogether. Who are the elders? The ones that would lead by doctrine, in doctrine, by example. So they ordained elders in every church and had prayed, and with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Oh, yeah. On whom they believed. So you see the consistency around Acts 2, the gathering of the church, the gathering of the saints. Are we together? Yeah? Write this down in your notes, right? The church progresses with its gatherings. All together. It's part of spiritual growth. Yeah? Coming for meetings, bringing meetings is part of spiritual growth. All together. Ensuring that when you join the Christian faith, when you're a Christian, right, you should be able to know how to, you know, get yourself to miss meetings and say, okay, you're missing meetings now, but eventually as you're growing, you should be able to now place some importance on certain, you know, on every meeting, rather than every Christian, particularly meetings of the local church, right? They are very important to you. They are very dear to you. Very important to you, very dear to you. You get the point, right? So the church progresses with its gathering, yeah? We need to ensure we speak to ourselves more often, yeah? Imagine you had a family. Think about it. How do you grow in love with your family, with your husband, with your family, with your wife, with your parents, with your children, right? The more you see, the more you keep seeing, the more you keep spending time together, the more you keep understanding certain things, certain truths, certain facts. Altogether, right? So we need to spend more time as a local church, just like you spend more time as a family. Altogether, for the church is a family. So if you agree that we need to spend more time as a family, altogether, why do you think you should not agree to spend more time as a local church? Altogether, right? You know, one of the things that you will understand is that, or you will see when you study scriptures, is that man by default has been created with a craving for fellowship. altogether, a craving for fellowship. Altogether, a craving for fellowship. Yeah, we also said on Sunday that when you read through the scriptures, the epistles, the letters that were written were read in assemblies, in gatherings, in fellowship. So a gathering is required, an assembly is required, a community is required. So after one is being born again, the next thing you are thinking about is how to integrate them into a family. And that's why let me say this clearly. Yeah, you hear me say things like, you know, when you're going for evangelism, right, eventually get that into that practice and act of collecting numbers, trying to continue conversations, right, and also having that act and mind of trying to ensure that people are established in Christian families with Christian families, right? And one of the easiest ways you can do that is if you're a member of a local church, you ideally would and should trust the local church. So it means that that should be your nearest go-to option for someone who you've just gotten born again, or someone who just got delivered and from bondage of sin and death, someone who just got, you know, saved, so to say, altogether, right? Because the next important thing after your salvation, our together, is you getting integrated into a community, into a family, into a community, into a family, right? There's a picture I saw a few days ago, right, of a group of zebras were standing together within a small space. And all of a sudden, one of them decided to step away. I remember that one stepped away, then there was a cheetah, a tiger, I can't remember the exact image of the picture, began to chase that one. Our together, right? Yeah, you know, it's beautiful to also to sing song. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, he chases me down. My dear brother, my dear sister, why must they always be? Why is it only you they are chasing? Why is it only you? He leaves the 99. Why is it only you they are leaving 99 for? There's something that's wrong with you, right? But something is wrong with you when you're having to, you know, realign yourself, remind yourself, or to sort of make yourself happy and satisfied with the fact that you are being chased by God. And now we understand the concept of chased in salvation. You are now saved, you know, and all those, you know, and the ever unending love of God that's, you know, is running after you. But not when your conduct and practice is way away from, and you are just hoping and trusting that, oh, God is going to chase you no matter what, regardless what. You should grow up someday. You should one day just realize the people that have 99, they don't have to wait. Altogether, you can decide to choose that you'll be among the 99. That means you're not going to be chased for Sunday service. You're not going to be chased for Christian meetings. You're not going to be chased for, you know, certain basic Christian commitments expected from you. Altogether, right? Yeah, you shouldn't be a Christian for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and your pastor is still having to ask you, we didn't see you in church today. What happened? We didn't see you in church. Hope everything is fine. We didn't see you. Hope you are doing well. I hope you are healthy. Yeah, you know, I usually give an example of a man who, you know, was very consistent in church, very committed in church. Right, very consistent, very committed in church, and all of a sudden he, you know, got a job. Are we together? And he stopped, reduced his commitment to church, reduced his commitment to God, reduced his commitment to the things of God. Right, and by extension, what now happens? A few weeks down the line, or a few months down the line, eventually he started coming back to church, and the pastor called him and asked him, "Have you lost your job?" Yeah, I've just compressed the full story together. Right, have you lost your job? And found out that he actually eventually lost his job. You get the point. You shouldn't be one who allows, you allow something else take priority over the things of God, the things of ministry, the things of local church, the gathering together of the saints altogether, right? Yeah, there'll be certain options. You see, why do you think I say the things I say the way I do, right? It is to make you see that eventually it is possible. Altogether, there are opportunities, there are jobs I've turned down for the sake of the gospel. The question is, what are you turning down for the sake of the gospel? Like I told you, and I always tell you, yeah, in gospel, as we don't teach a service and commitment to God from a place of comfort. Altogether, yeah, you will not always do everything. If everything you are doing in your service to God is comfortable, then you're not stretching yourself. Altogether, you're not stretching yourself. There will be certain times, certain days where things will not be comfortable for you, but you will stretch yourself out, right, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your Christian life, for the sake of another person. You know, sometimes when you find yourself in local church and you're listening in meetings, right, you're not listening alone for yourself. Yeah, you are listening for other people. You are learning for other people. Yes, you are learning for yourself fundamentally. Listening for yourself fundamentally. The word should have a, you know, frequency through your heart and also change your heart and your mind. But you're also learning for other people. You know, there are certain times, for instance, I get to answer certain questions when I go for evangelism to people. And sometimes I might not be able to point myself directly to the exact time I learned those things. Are we together, right? And that's why meetings, fellowship will always be very important, right? Because you'll find out that as you are doing certain things, you're having other people in mind. Are we together? We come to church, we are praying together. You're having not just yourself in mind, other people in mind. Are we together? So don't be the one who is always being chased, being pursued, or being, you know, why do you come late for meetings? Why do you walk majestically, right? Even when you are coming late, can't you leave the house early? Can't you leave your home early? Can't you, drop your wake up earlier? Altogether, like I would always tell you, yeah, when you see someone consistently known for coming late to meetings, right, that's somebody who has not put the Christian faith and taking their Christian faith seriously. Altogether, there is nothing that stops you from being to a church meeting. I can never remember the last time. I can't remember a time I've been to a church meeting late. I can't remember. Yes, I can't remember. Altogether, I can't. It beats my imagination, right? I remember let me skip the example. Yeah, you know, but there's no time. It doesn't make sense to me, right? And I can tell you, I've been aware of myself for nothing less than 15 plus years now. And in 15 plus years, there was never a day I went late to church in university. Never. I can't remember when I've gone late to church for a meeting. Late for a meeting, a Christian meeting, is impossible. I don't do that. I want together. I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. Yeah. There's sometimes I, you know, fellowship with other churches and so that, you know, and eventually I usually would be in church even before most of the members. You can't find it with me. I feel like I give a sense of regard. And it's simple. If church is for 6 o'clock, your house is 2 hours away. It's simple. Leave your house by a few minutes to four. You don't need to be told. You are not a kid. You are not a baby. You get the point. You shouldn't be complex. Now we're together, right? If church is 10 o'clock, your house is 55 minutes. You leave the house at 9 o'clock. It's just simple. It's common sense. It beats my imagination when I see the consistency of people doing. And you can do that every week and just be ensured that this is church time. This is Christian meeting. Yeah, I want to be at the meeting when it is starting. When it is starting. Altogether, it's a practice you can have. It's a culture you can have, right? Anywhere you are in the world, anywhere you find yourself, yeah. Let one thing you take from gospel as be that you don't go to Christian meetings late. No, don't go late. Don't go late for meetings. Altogether, if we are saying we are meeting at 9:17, be there at 9:16. Try to be there at 9:15. Let it be that if you are coming there at 9:17, it was something beyond your degree. Altogether, if you like have 20 children, we have 50 children. See, if you have 5 children, right, and 5 children will delay you from coming to church at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday, for instance, or let's say a Sunday morning, for instance, right, it takes you 30 minutes to get a child ready. What do you do? Multiply 30 minutes by 5. What is that? That is 30 minutes in 5 places. You get that, right? That's an average of 2.5 hours, right? You're going to take care of yourself for 30 minutes. What do? You add 30 minutes to that again. That's 3 hours. So if your drive to church is 1 hour, are we together? That means you have to leave the house at 9 o'clock. Are we together? It means that by 5 o'clock, you should be up. There is nothing wrong in you being up at 5 for church. Why? Because children go to school. They need to be in school for 7:30. They need to be in school for 8 o'clock more often than not. And you are there to report them, to submit them to their teachers, to drop them with their mates in school. And you do that every day. But on Monday, on Sunday, right, for when it comes for church meeting, yeah, church is at 9 o'clock. It's at 9 o'clock. It's 8:55. They are waking you from the bed. And you are still rolling, you know, like somebody who's overfed. Right, someone who doesn't have decorum, doesn't have decency, doesn't have, you know, you need to just ensure that, you know, sometimes you need to hear these 10 strict words so that you can wake up and become a better human being. There is nothing that should make you come late to church. I use myself as an example so you can see it's possible. Yeah, it's running to over 20 years. I've never been late for a meeting. It is disgusting. That's because I have a sense of regard, a sense of reverence for God. No matter, as long as the Christian meeting where 2 or 3 are gathered. And you know the funny thing, for me, that has now become my approach to every area of life, every aspect of my life. I don't go late to places. I went together, right? I don't go late to places. If you honor a place, if you honor a meeting, and if you honor the men in the meeting, and also if you honor God. Are we together? Yeah, if a man who's your pastor or your leader says we are meeting at 4 o'clock, we are meeting at 6 o'clock, if you honor God, you'll be there at 4 o'clock. Yeah, not being there by 4 o'clock is the height of dishonor. Not being there by 6 o'clock, by 10 o'clock is a display of dishonor. You have no excuse. You are not the first to give birth. You will not be the last to give birth. You're not the first to have 9 children. You're not the first to have 10 children. You will not be the last to have 20 children. Are we together? That's one thing you must always remind yourself about. Have a sense of honor, right? Have a sense of honor. You don't go late for offices or office meetings. You don't go late for visa interviews. You don't go late to catch a flight. You don't go late to catch the bus. You don't go late, you know, for doctor's appointment. But you want to choose to feel comfortable going late for Christian meetings. No, it's a sign of dishonor, right? So when we are told together as a local church, this is the time we meet. Altogether, let me say differently. See, if the, as long as the local church agrees this is a time, yeah, God has put a stamp on that time, and that's the time that God will honor. So if that's the time God will honor, that's the time you need to honor. Altogether, let's assume Sunday service starts at 6 o'clock for whatever reason it is. I'm talking about 6 o'clock in the morning. Altogether, right? Yeah, that it is early is not an excuse to be late. Are we together? Yeah, there are people who have gone to churches and they're attending first service at 5:30 in the morning, right? And they are there till the fourth service at 2 p.m. Are we together? And they have children. They are business executives. They are directors. They have jobs. They have companies. They have businesses. They have other things in their lives that are going well for them. Are we together? So don't make yourself feel like you've arrived. No. There's still a long journey ahead of you. Are we together? And the more you grow, the more you increase in the faith, rather in your career and your world, let it be that nothing takes your place of sacrifice and commitment to the things of ministry, the things of gospel. I've turned down job opportunities, job offers, because of the sake of the gospel, for the sake of ministry. And I'm not saying it because I should be the only one doing it. It is, I am doing it as a pastor to model to you what you should also factor in. Altogether, so there'll be certain jobs, for instance, you will turn down. There'll be certain opportunities you will turn down for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of ministry, for the sake of what? Doing God's will in the earth. Altogether, yeah, very, very important. So Christian meetings are something you honor. Altogether, you treasure with the highest esteem. Very, very, very important. Altogether, I remember a couple years ago, right, on a Sunday morning, yeah, my CEO had called me and said I should report, you know, at the office and to do some things. Yeah, right on the spot, I told him, that's not possible. Altogether, I mean, I'm going to be very, very, you know, straight to the point and very honorable. But you can't take me out of church meeting for how much are you paying me? How much will you possibly increase my salary to? Let's assume I'm there. Do you understand? Let's even assume you give me £1 million. Altogether. Yeah, I know someone in your mind, you like a pastor, £1 million, they give you. I'm telling you, there are certain things you will build your conviction around that when you start seeing opportunities, you will talk. I can't sit you down and tell you opportunities that have come down. You will be bamboozled, bamboozled, or whatever the word is. You would. That's the truth. Altogether, you would be bamboozled. Yeah, so you need to ensure that you have your mind revolving around the things of God, the things of ministry, things of service. Altogether, the things of ministry, things of service. There are certain things I should be earning right now and be doing, you know, in quote. I'll be, you know, doing better in quote financially in my life today. I should already be doing that, but I've turned them down, shielded myself away from some opportunities just for the sake of ministry, for the sake of the gospel. I remember when I was going back to Nigeria a couple years ago. Right, yeah, you know, I had an influence, and influence, so to say, right, yeah, with somebody who was a director who was going to help me get, you know, a proper serious job that was going to pay me times four of what I was going to earn in Abuja at the time. I was together, right, but I wasn't going to be around for midweek services. I turned it down. Yeah, this is 6 years ago. This is 6 years ago. I was together. It was going to be 3 to 4 times more than what I eventually got to earn. But for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of ministry. So that should be your approach to the things of God. Yeah, that should be your approach to the things of God, right? You know, you can have a practice where your boss knows that Wednesday is for church. And we're together. Wednesday is for church. I remember I was working at a place at a time when, you know, if you can't go home, if your manager is around and everything, you know, but I had to ensure that no matter what happened, even if it's for me to leave my bag, my laptop in the office to go to church and preach and go back there, I did that consistently for years. I went together. Right? Why should I report to you at on? I should report to you on Monday, report to you on Tuesday, report to you on Wednesday, then report to you on Sunday. You are not rich. That's a good way of saying it. You are not rich. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, rich. You are not up to that. For what? You understand? Yeah, some of you, if they ask you, if pastor say, let's meet urgently on Sunday at 8 o'clock, you will have an excuse. But if your boss say, you say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. What is that? Yeah. What is that? I'm not saying you should not say yes, sir, to your boss, but I'm saying as much as you say yes, sir, to your boss. Yeah. There should be a process. There should be a process in your mind that makes you say yes, sir, to God through your leaders, through your pastor. And we're together, right? Blessed are you, happy are you. You have a pastor who chooses not to have meeting other than a Sunday and to have meeting Monday. But I'm saying, even if peradventure we begin to have meetings every day, let's assume, yeah, we're not the first. Yeah, it's in the Bible says they met daily from house to house in fellowship, breaking bread from house to house daily. All together. So it's possible, it's not impossible. You got a point. I hope that has instructed your heart today, right? So let's look through a few meetings that, you know, we possibly have in the local church. I hope that has instructed your heart this evening. So we said there are different kinds of meetings, various kinds of meetings. We said number one, which is usually the fundamental meeting, like I will say, is the teaching meeting. All together, the teaching meeting, right? We saw that in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. Jesus will teach them for 40 days. Altogether, the teaching meeting, we saw that in Acts 2:42, right? People will come together to listen to God's word. It is too fundamental. Altogether, it's too fundamental. It is too fundamental. It is too fundamental. Very important. So that's where you begin to understand, you know, where God's word is, what God's will is, how God's word can better be explained, how God's word is being explained, what to pay attention to when explaining God's word, you know, and the likes of that. Very, very important. Altogether, very, very important. So the number one meeting is teaching meeting. Number two meeting you can have is the Holy Ghost meeting. Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost is fully come, right? You observe that in the Holy Ghost meeting, right? More often than not, you might, no matter how much you prepare, if you allow the Holy Ghost or yield to the Holy Ghost, you might not know where that meeting will end. Do you understand? It's just like Acts 2. Yeah, Bible says they should pray, they should tarry. Scripture, Jesus says they should tarry in Jerusalem, right? And they were praying in Jerusalem, they were praying rather. And as they were praying, the Bible now says the day of Pentecost was fully come. When the day came, eventually they are prepared for that meeting in the place of prayer. But that meeting took everyone by surprise. So we have a teaching meeting, we have the Holy Ghost meeting. So the primary meeting for a local church, a local gathering, is teaching meeting. Yeah, when you find yourself in a local church where you are, where they use more time of the meeting for any other thing, you found yourself in a place that has lost its priority. Are we together? Yeah, no matter what, if you like, call the name Praise and Worship Church. If you like, call the name Lift Up Your Voices Church. Yeah, the primary, the one we spend time more with. Are we together? More often than not in our gatherings, we will fundamentally be hinged around teaching meetings. It's primary. Altogether, it's primary. It's primary. Yeah. So we have the Holy Ghost meeting, which you can call the believers meeting. Yeah, we have it every second Sunday of the month. But you know, a lot of times, some of the services we come together, we might not have had planned to have believers meeting, but you know, we just yield to the Holy Ghost and we have a believers meeting. Yeah. So the Holy Ghost meeting, Acts 2:1. Yeah, that meeting is a meeting where everyone that is a believer that is there, which ideally should be the case, participates. Yeah, the teaching meeting is a meeting where the teacher is teaching. So the teacher is the one that is active, right? And the disciples, the members, the flocks are the ones that are receiving from the action and activity of the pastor, of the leader, of the teacher. All together. But Holy Ghost meeting, right? We will all participate, right? In utterance, yeah, every one of us, Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when we come together, every one of you had a psalm, had a tongue, had an interpretation, had a revelation, right? So when we come together, we all participate. Yeah, we all participate. We have revelation gifts. We have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. We have prophecy. We have utterances. Are we together, right? In meeting, we plan to experience things we did not plan. That's what you can, you know, and see as a believer's meeting. It's a meeting where we plan to experience things we did not plan. Are we together, right? Yeah, and Acts 1:8. altogether, and you shall receive power, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and shall witness it. So there will be something that will happen altogether, right? So in the real sense, they knew about the day of Pentecost that was going to come. Something was going to happen. They looked forward to something happening. Like I said, they planned by praying. But see, when Acts 2 came, yeah, what wasn't planned was experienced. So they yielded the meeting to the Holy Ghost altogether. So there are meetings like that where we just turn over to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we just have lots of rejoicing, lots of laughing, lots of revelation, lots of utterances, just to ensure we get ourselves edified, comforted, instructed, admonished, corrected, right? Yeah, just to ensure that we bring, you know, God's full expression of God's Spirit into our midst altogether, right? So we must always have rooms for supernatural occurrences, supernatural experiences altogether. Altogether, right? So, in the real sense, there will be people who, when you come together and for a believers' meeting, they might not know what to, right? But on account of being there, that can influence their actions and activities to jump in. Altogether. Altogether. So, our supernatural faculties are in, you know, are already in place the moment we became born again. I'll say that one more time. Your supernatural faculties, our supernatural faculties, are already in place the moment we become born again. So it means you have seen eyes, you have hearing ears. Yeah, like that song says, I don't have dead ears, right? I don't have dead ears. I don't have empty words. I was together. So the moment a man is born again, his faculties have been enabled. They've been activated. But the man has to act on the activated and enabled faculties. All together. So in a believer's meeting, all faculties can work together. Everything can work together, right? Our faculties are working, right? They are active. We are sensing things. You are just standing beside someone, standing around someone, and you can see challenges that they are going through. You can see challenges they can possibly, you know, and be about to get into. You can see challenges that, you know, yet you just know things on account of what? Your sensitivity, your sensitive faculties, or your faculties that are, you know, sensitive. Altogether, right? Altogether. So there are things that will happen to you, and it will take years before you can see it from that believer's meeting. So you come to a believer's meeting, yeah, hands can be laid on you, and you will not see the effect of those hands laid on you until years down the line. And that's why you see, when it comes to the impartation of things of the Spirit, just keep collecting. Just keep receiving. Just keep collecting. Just keep receiving. Just keep collecting. Just keep receiving. Altogether, yeah, Paul will say, I long that I look forward to you that I might impact onto you things that are missing. If he impacts on them today, tomorrow he will still come. If he still impacts, you receive it. Altogether, yeah. So any meeting you sense, altogether, where impartation is something that is about to happen, be ready to receive. Be ready to receive, okay? Be ready to receive. Altogether, there are things that are functional in my life today. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, you know, and he was asking, when can you trace the point that, you know, your things or the Spirit started getting clear, you know? And I told him, I said, see, I'm not going to point to the exact one, but I can tell you that it's a function of impartation with men and function of meetings. Altogether, yeah, it's a function of meetings. I grew up by default seeing a father who operated in things of the Spirit like as if it was nothing. Yeah, it was so seamless. So seamless. Yeah. We might not have known the doctrine behind it, the Greek and everything, but the truth is it was seamless. Altogether. And one of the things I did was I observed, I paid attention. When hands need to be laid, I receive all the laying of hands. Altogether. Yeah. When words are spoken, I receive. I shout amen. I jump up. I say amen. Altogether. You know, you see, there's a way you can get your mind to receive as much by responding appropriately. Altogether. You see, when you see hands have been laid on you, right? Don't just say amen. Don't mumble amen. Your shouting and receiving and saying amen with your loudest of voice and all of you has a way of stamping and reprogramming your mind. Are you listening to me today? Altogether. So if your pastor, for instance, wants to lay hands on you, right? Yeah, it's a meeting, right? And words are spoken. right? Yeah, you open your mouth as much as you can to ensure that you shout amen. Your amen is going to help your mind. Are we together? It's going to help your mind. I told you a few years ago, I was in a meeting, right? And prior to that meeting, right, one of, I think it was 2021 or so, 2021, if I'm not mistaken, 22, right? Yeah, and one of the things that I went to that meeting as a burden on my heart was my health. Altogether, right? And pastor laid hands on me, I told you, and he walked away and came back and laid hands again, right? And he said some words. You heard the words, I told you the words he said. Yeah, you stay in health, you and your family. Those are the words he said altogether. And the way I shouted amen, that was all I needed to keep myself void of worry regarding my health till today. That was all I needed altogether. There was a way I affirmed the amen. So shall it be fulfilled. Yeah, there's a way I affirmed it that my mind has aligned itself to that word or to those words. I went together. So when you see somebody, right, wanting to receive from his pastor, receive from laying of hands, out together, and they seem to be very active and kind, what they are doing is not to help the man of God feel like he's a man of God. I went together. You see, let me tell you something. Yeah, there are certain things you will experience as a man of God or as a pastor, right? That once you start seeing those things, you will not need anybody to give you a validation that God hears your words when you talk. That's the truth. Yeah, there are certain things you would experience, right? You will not need anybody's activity or action or inaction to validate your words to make you feel like of a truth. It's not your amen or your shouting of your amen or your shouting or your receiving of laying of hands that makes me think that my word, no, it's not for me, it is for you. Altogether, yeah? There's no time hands want to be laid. You see me strolling to the front. I don't stroll to the front. I run. I pick race. I have a leg. I went together. Yeah? I have a leg. I could use my leg to run for a train. I could use my leg to run for a flight. I could use my leg to run to the office. It means I could lose my leg. I could use my leg to run to have a meeting point, an encounter with God's spirit in God's man. You get the point? Very, very, very important. Don't joke with it. Altogether, right? So when hands want to be laid on you, when hands want, you know, about to be laid on you, there's a way you start programming your mind. Get yourself in tongues. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday particularly. Get yourself in tongues. I want together. Get your consecration top notch. I want together. Pray, keep praying. And after hands have been laid, stay praying. Are we together? Right? Yeah, there are certain things you would act on just based on the words that have been said, and that just stamps it to your heart. And you get the point. Yeah, if I'm praying for you, for cancer to dry up, I'm not the one that needs cancer to dry up. But let me tell you, there's a way you can dry up cancer in your mind first, and your body will align to what your mind has accepted. Praise God forevermore. Are we together? Yeah? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Right? So there are meetings that in the real sense, we yield to the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, so it's the same thing, right? When you're in a believer's meeting, for instance, yeah, let it have that sense of urgency, wanting to hear what God wants to say. Are we together? Yeah? Don't just be dragging yourself. You know, in this world we find ourselves, particularly in this part of the world where we find ourselves, we think there's a tush way. Let me tell you, there's a tush way to approach life. I can be tush, oh, trust me. Altogether, yeah, I can be tush. I know somebody might say, with the way you open your mouth when you teach, you can never be tush. I agree, but I can be tush at some point, in some places. But when it comes to the things of spirit, things of God, things spiritual, I'm not tush. Nope, I don't stay tush. I don't like tush. I don't like tush on that matter. I don't like stees. I don't keep stees. Altogether, yeah, I don't keep stees. You know, we are praying. Your hands are just like this, you know. You know, somebody is saying, there's somebody, they want to minister to you in a believer's meeting. You say, okay, noted with many thanks. Are we together? Yeah, there's a sense of urgency you can have. You can have that. Remember, we were teaching about something, even though, you know, Sister Steph called my attention to it about being on the edge. But like I said to her, right, my example of using the phrase being on the edge is be at alert. That's what I mean. Are we together? Right. So when you are being on the edge, you are always ready, waiting to receive, waiting to collect, waiting to have a jamming. You know what they call jamming? A jamming with God's spirit. You can jam and lock. Are we together? Yeah, you know, and you can have a mindset. A man like Jacob, for instance, he says he fought, I will never let you go until you bless me. And you see the 14, for you ask the Bible text that in Jacob wrestled. Are we together? What was he really doing? He said, no matter what, everything for me. So you can have an approach in the meeting such that when hands are about to lead, what you are saying to yourself is, everything God has for me in this meeting will not pass me by. All together. Yeah, we'll teach on that some other day going forward. Yeah. So another thing again you can see as well, another meeting you can have is a prayer meeting. What is a prayer meeting? Everybody comes together, right, to spend time in the place of prayer. All together. Everybody comes together to spend time in the place of prayer. All together. Yeah, everybody. You know, some of you might think, you know, you hear me say this, like, for instance, in Nigerian church, when we used to do vigils and everything, you know, we do 12 hours, sometimes 13 hours, sometimes depending on the number of hours we do and all those kind of things. You know, some of us just feel like, because I'm in the UK now, so you know, I don't think pastor really will give our time. You're not serious. So, yeah. Go and check the number of hours we've prayed and how we've increased in every Rekindle meeting from 2 years ago. It's intentional. Are we together? It's intentional. Yeah, it's intentional. Yeah, so we've done one successfully. You all do 1 hour every week. I expect that happens. So when we have our prayer meeting, we already do 1 hour. Yeah, you do 2 hours. The last Rekindle we did 3 hours. Yeah, the next Rekindle, trust me, we're going to do 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, depending. Are we together? So come ready. Are we together? Yeah, so a prayer meeting, we all come together to pray. Yeah. And when we come together to pray, our needs in the real sense, we expect them to meet. But our needs are not our focus. It is God's will that is the focus. Altogether, God's will is focus. Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in praying. Altogether, Acts 1:14, they all assembled together, right, in the upper room, right, and they were praying. Are we together? Acts 4, right? I think Acts 4:24. It says that they were praying together and the place was shaking. Are we together? Yeah. The kind of prayer we'll be living in God's palace is the prayer where your environment will be affected. Are we together? Yeah. It will be affected on account of your emotions involved in your prayer. It will be affected. Jesus, God in the flesh, prayed. Bible says, sweat like droplets of blood. That's his emotions and hearts. Are we together? Why will he want to go to the mountain? Jesus could not have wanted to go to the mountain to go and pray silence prayer. He could as well have done it on the street in the city. Yeah. But he will go, he will cry, a man like Elijah. I would gather, what will happen? Bible says he will put his head in between his knee. I would gather, right? And he will pray. I would gather, he will pray. You say, go and check. Rain will fall, go and check. He will come back and say, rain is not falling. Bible says he will go back there and pray. That's the heart and attitude we ought to have as believers. You know, but some of us will say, you know, Elijah did not know revelation truth. I would gather, yeah? So there's a prayer meeting. The emphasis on the things we pray about in those meetings are around the body of Christ, our relationships, the work of the Spirit, the will of God being done in the earth. Altogether. Then now, a lot of times, that now can lead to evangelistic meetings, what you call outreaches, right? So we usually have outreaches at the church from time to time, correct? Yeah. Outreaches are those meetings where we come together, right? We go out to minister to the saved or to the sick, to the sinners, rather, to sinners, right? To both sinners and believers alike, just to ensure we bring God's word to the hearts of people. Yeah. An outreach. You have that in Acts chapter 2, for instance, verse 16. Yeah. Look at Acts 2:16. You can look at that in Acts 2. Acts 2:16, or look at 14. Acts 2:14. Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, that's an outreach, right? Be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken men, as you suppose, right? Seeing that is but the third hour, for this is an outreach meeting. See what the outcome of the outreach meeting was in verse 42. 41. Acts 2:41. We said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. As an outreach meeting, right? An outreach meeting with goal to ensure that more men are added to the kingdom. Altogether. Now, a lot of times, outreach meetings or evangelistic meetings could lead to healing meetings. Now, the local church as well can have healing meetings. Local church can have outreach meetings, which is what we do. We finish sitting in church on the second Sunday of the month, then we all go out into the streets for outreach altogether, right? We can also have a healing meeting where everybody comes together to be healed. Yeah, the emphasis will be healing. We're going to probably have that very soon, right? Yeah, we'll have that very soon, yeah? We did a seminar on it a couple years ago. That was probably 3 years ago in Nigeria. Then what we did was, after that meeting, we all now went out to get all manners of sickness, strange things, strange people healed altogether. And we had lots of miraculous testimonies from that meeting. Altogether, yeah, we had lots of, it's interesting, yeah. If we want to sit down and start talking about the kinds and types of miracles, I remember there was a strange miracle that happened, right? I remember there was a strange miracle that happened from that outreach meeting, that healing, that from that and back of that healing. I don't know, I can't remember who it was, right? But there was somebody who got, somebody who was, so we're doing this in Abuja, right? And somebody prayed for somebody who had either a partial stroke or something in a different city, I think it was Kaduna. And right on the call, right, the person jumped up and leaped and got healed. Yeah. So we've had meetings like that. Just a funny thing is just like we said on Sunday, right? We don't have what you call testimony times, as a local church where we say, people come and do all those things. Yeah. And the reason is just simple, right? Not just so that we don't deviate from where Ephesus are. But blessed and happy are you to actually see or to know that you see things supernatural, strange things happen. Yeah. So we had different dynamics, kinds of sicknesses that were healed, through that outreach. We're going to have another one as well this coming, I think in the next couple of weeks, actually, during the week-long teaching. Right. So you can have a healing meeting where people will come together, people that are sick to receive healing. I was gonna look at Acts 3, verse 1. Let me show you something quickly. Acts 3, verse 1. Peter and John went together into the temple of the hour to pray, being the night hour. A certain man was lame from his mother's womb. That's a healing meeting. Altogether, you can read through all of that. Acts 5, 12. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's a healing meeting. Signs and wonders. So we can have a church service where we just want to see signs and wonders and mighty demonstration. Altogether, look at Luke 5:17. Jesus as well, would have those encounters in his ministry. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. So Jesus had those kind of meetings as well, where you will see, God's word being taught, then you see mighty demonstration of healing in their midst. Right. Now, another kind of meeting we have is called workers' meeting. Now, it's something we're going to start having in the coming days, okay? Right? Workers' meeting. We have it every last Sunday of the church of the month in Nigerian church. And also, more often than not, every time I have to travel or I'm in Nigeria for any reason, I spend probably one day as much as possible with the workers, particularly for workers' meeting. So what is a workers' meeting? A workers' meeting is that meeting where those who are actively serving in the local church that are committed to service in the local church come together, right, to be instructed in God's word, admonished in God's word, instructed and corrected in God's word. So those with responsibilities in the church, so you have your cell leaders will be in workers' meeting, your department leaders will be in workers' meeting, people who are serving in the choir will be in workers' meeting, in the ushering department, the media team, everyone together in a workers' meeting. Look at Acts 20:17. It's a scriptural thing. Acts 20. Yeah, look at verse 16, Acts 20:16. Right, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. Now says verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after all manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lie and by, befell me rather by the lying in wait of the Jew, and I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. And from who is he talking to? Elders of the church. So those who have responsibilities, that are examples in the church, right? A worker of a church should be an example, a worthy example. Because you have a responsibility, it means you are not just projecting your name to the faces of people, you are projecting the name of Jesus, the name of your local church, the name of your local assembly. Altogether. Another kind of meeting you have is what you call the law feast. Altogether. Yeah, we have a law feast. So having a law feast is something that is a kind of meeting that we can have rather as a church. Right, so what happens in law feast? We saw in Acts 6 earlier today, right? When the apostles would say we don't need to leave the taking care of people and the word, and prayer, ministry of word and prayer, right, for the serving of tables, are we together? Then he picks some Dickens. That's why Stephen came into the picture and Philip and liked, right? Yeah. But what is the essence of a love feast? We come together to fellowship together as a family. Are we together? Then we can relax, play, we can eat, we can do, we can have those meetings. Are we together? But if your church is every day love feast, every day is plain, every day, you are losing the point. Don't forget, primary meeting is not love feast. Our primary meeting is teaching meeting. All together, right? Yeah. So in our law office, we can decide to have conversations around, you know, things, maybe career, things, relationship, and give room for, you know, dynamic questions and things like that. Yeah, we can decide to, you know, have it as a meeting where we just come and play games, you know, have fun together, eat food together. You can see that in Acts 6:1-3, you can see that in Acts 2:42, they were breaking bread from house to house. That means they were eating, right? You know, and you know, eventually you find out that's a meeting with the highest number of people in attendance. Praise God. Are we together, right? Yeah, I've not found out. Yeah, the highest number of people in attendance, that the meeting we had in the love feast we had, we call it meeting. Okay, there's also 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9 to 18, right? Where you see look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. It says, neither was 1 Corinthians 11, verse 9. That's what I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians, no, where does verse 16? Okay, yeah, verse 16 says, when man is contentious, seems to have contentious, we have no such custom. Look at verse 17. Sorry. Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be division amongst you. I partly believe it, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not the Lord's Supper, right? For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, right? His own supper, his own meal, right? And one is hungry. So what was happening? They were sharing food. I was together. This is a law feast. Yeah, look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this my body. This is called testimony. Verse 26. For as often as he eat the bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Right? Yeah, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this bread unworthily shall be guilty of. So what is he teaching? They came together to feast. Some were eating the food that was supposed to be for all. Are we together? And some were not having food to eat. What's the solution? Look at verse 33. 1 Corinthians 11, 33. It says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Are we together? That means when you come together for love feast, let everybody be around before you start sharing food. Are we together? And if any man be hungry, let him eat at home. That means love feast is not a place where you come hungry to finish the food of the church. No, love is a place where if you are strictly hungry, you go and eat in your house first, or eat well in your house first. Because what is in church might not be enough, and it needs to go around for everyone. Let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So when we come together to fulfill the mandate of Christ that there is love in sharing, altogether we share things altogether. So it's very, very important to note these meetings and note the importance of this meeting. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. First Timothy 3:15. It says, but if I tarry, look at verse 14. First Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, right? Which is the church of God. So what will you call the house of God? The house of God will be seen as the garden of where two or three are what? Gathered together in my name. Okay? Yeah. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. All together, right? So don't expect to get in a church service what you get in a cinema. Write that in your notes. Don't expect to get in a church service what you get in a beer parlor. There's some of us right now, because we want to, I saw somebody do some things and they said they are trying to bring the club in the church, into the church. So that people say, would you stop people from going to clubs, so they will come to church? Because what they are looking for in church is in club. Remain small, they will serve stout. All together, remain small, they will serve NSC. I went together. Remain small. They will serve all manners of things. They will serve shisha, right? Because you don't want people to go to the club. After all, there's something called puffing in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah. So don't expect. The Bible says that ye ought to know how. So once we gather together in the name, there's a way to behave. I'll get that. There's a way to behave. There are certain things that need to be put in place. There's order, which is also going to lead into our next series or the two series from now. There's certain things that he says that ye oughtest to behave thyself in the eyes of God. You must know how to. Yeah, when you see people proposing to themselves in the church, the pastor, right, and the congregation, they are not serious. When you see that, you know, somebody just finished leading praise and worship, all of a sudden, someone is behind him kneeling down. praise God. Yeah, this is my action I just did right now. Let you just say a lot. Just leave it there. Altogether. Yeah, just leave it there. Yeah, I saw a video that was trending a few years ago. A pastor's wife was sending message to the pastor, right? And he said, you're looking so hot and sexy. And the untrained, uncultured, uncivilized people now came to the social media to show the world the chat husband and wife were having. Not husband and wife, but pastor of the church and wife of the pastor of the church in the church. Are we together? Such derogatory, you know, my English is even, like I said, I'm not too exposed, right? Such derogatory, I still use the word. what on earth does that? That's not cute. That's insane. That's silly. That's stupid. Do you understand? That's silly. That you ought to know. The question is, if that's what everybody is doing, what will become of the church? Pastor's wife, you send a message to your husband, you're looking, oh, you're looking so young, and he's preaching. You're looking so yummy, sexy, and hot. And the man, you know, there's a word I need to use. Yeah, and you're not ashamed of yourself. You came and posted it for content. So you didn't realize people just do things for the sake of content. You didn't see any other place to propose to a girl. You waited for her to come and climb stage for announcements. And you know that you and I, your leg, will break it in that church. You and I, your leg, will scatter it in that church. What nonsense is that? And people say, oh, you know, and the most pathetic are the ones that say, oh, to those kind of things. What is all about? What is so cute about that? That's ridiculous. That's shameful. You should be ashamed of yourself. I don't even know. You know the grammar. When I start talking like this, you know that the grammar is hard to come out. Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself. Even as a pastor, you should be ashamed of yourself. Altogether, when did we start all this nonsense? When did we start all these ridiculous things? That you ought to know how you behave yourself. Altogether, that you ought to know how you behave yourselves. Altogether, there's a way to behave yourself. So we can have a church meeting, and after the church meeting, we all go and eat bread, we eat sandwich, we have coffee, we have tea. But that we are preaching, somebody is opening sandwich, ham and cheddar cheese. Altogether, and somebody else is open. I was in the church meeting one day. Somebody opened Lucozade, and no, it was even fatter. And the thing did, you know, there's sometimes you know when something like that happen. There's a way you just behave yourself and just try to hide it. I started eating. I'm like, well, how many hours are they teaching you for? You were not even doing 10 hours teaching at this church. Even we that did 10 hours teaching, and we do 10 hours teaching consistently. Nobody has to eat. Are you that hungry? Even if you have osa. Understand, there's a way we behave ourselves in the church. There's a way we comport ourselves in the church. All together, I can't imagine I'm preaching. My wife is telling me you look hot. I don't understand. You didn't know where else to say. You couldn't say it before church. Let's even assume you have a little sprinkle of carnality on your mind. Like I always tell you, right? Once I get to what I'm thinking of, I'm not thinking of what is the hairstyle. I don't look at those things. My mind is on how do I deliver God's word to God's people. What happened to after service? What happened to after church? Are we together? So we ought to know. So the things of God must be seen. The place of meetings must be seen as a place of sacredness. It's sacred. Altogether, we've come to a holy mountain. Yeah, we've come to a holy mountain. Yeah, like I said, yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself if that's what you are reposting. A pastor proposed to his wife on the stage before he preached the word, and he used the word and he just converted it and he brought ring out, and that's what you are sharing. Yeah, a pastor tells the word that his wife told him that you're looking hot and sexy and yummyous, and that's what you are sharing. You should be ashamed of yourself, your Christian faith, your Christian growth. I'll be ashamed of you if I saw you do that. That's the truth. Altogether, there's such a thing called sacredness for the things of God. You always know when people start, you don't know where they will take it to. Altogether, one day, pastor will be preaching, somebody will bring drone into the church, will be flying, and be causing distraction. All of a sudden, one ring will now pop out.
out there, then you now start hearing balloon in different places, balloon, 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 and they'll just use, you know, and use them, what do you call it, AI to connive and take the media screen of the media team, and you just say the question, pop the question, and you that is uncircumcised or that does not know the sacraments of the meeting, you'll be shouting, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. What does that mean? You can do that after church at the car park. Are we together? Yeah. Why it has to be church is a question for me. But let's assume it has to be, right? You can do that after church. Are we together? You can do that in an open place. You can do that anywhere of church, but not within the gathering, not amongst the saints. There's a time for things. Are we together? Right? So don't expect to get in the church the things that you would get in the world. Altogether. That's why you now see some of our praise singers behaving so rascally, all in the name of praise and worship. Altogether, we behave cheap in our praise singers just because they want to attract. They go take sounds from the world, sounds from devilish points of view, or the pits of hell, right? Sounds from Satan and his cohorts. Altogether, and integrate into the church music. And people are dancing. People are dancing. And people are letting loose. People are letting loose. People are dancing. And they say, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. No, there's such a thing called sacredness. So a thing called sacredness. It is holy. We've come to a holy place. Are we together? Yeah. Take it very well. Yeah. When you see those meeting places where you see strange supernatural things happen, they don't use it for frivolous things like proposal. They don't use it for assuming things that the world has now brought into the local church. Are we together? We have help of God. So what he says, but if I tarry longer, thou mayest or to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It says the pillar and the ground of truth. The word there, ground, yeah, that word is word that means steadfastness. I put together. It's a word that is used for steadfastness. It has similar root wording. You can write that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Yeah, that will remain unmovable and steadfast. That prayer we usually pray in church, right? So he says that you may know how you behave yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So the believer should be ready to have a sane mind, a sense of sacredness in the church. And we're together. All together, right? A sense of sacredness in church. So the things we teach, the way we behave, the way we act, are we together? There's some things that are beyond the meeting place. Altogether, there's some things that are beyond the meeting room. There's some things that are beyond those sacred places. Altogether, very, very, very important. Look at what Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 13 as we close. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Yeah, he says, when I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I pushed childish things, you know. And that's what Paul was talking about when he looked through the previous verse, when he says, for we know in parts, we prophesy in parts. He was just trying to explain that really, right? As childish and two different phases of his life. Are we together? Dear saints, yeah, learn to put childish things away. Let me say this, write this in your note and extend this in your notes. You see, when you start experiencing boredom, altogether, right? In the things of God, in the things of faith, altogether. When you start experiencing boredom, right? If you stay, that's when you begin to see growth. It's just like going to the gym, altogether. At the point where it looks like you're tired, why am I lifting? Why am I running? Why am I jogging? Who is pursuing me? Do you understand? The more you stay there, that's how you see growth. Yeah? So it must not be out of listening to the word. Yeah, time will come, you want to get tired of it, but stay there. Listen to the word, listen to, you know, giving yourself to prayer, giving yourself to the things and flow of the spirit. Let me tell you for free, nobody grows with excitement. Excitement just creates fans. Excitement does not create disciples. If all you have is excitement, you don't end up being a disciple. You're only going to be fine. Let me say it differently. I'm not talking about, let's assume you're getting excited about Jesus died and reserved for your sins. That is a fact. It should make you excited, but that's not the excitement that keeps you or makes you grow. It just makes you a fan. altogether. So you must tend to place value on where we are, no matter the meeting. So what are the kind of meeting we said? We are teaching, we said teaching meeting, Holy Ghost meeting, prayer meeting, we said workers meeting, we have healing meeting, we have evangelistic meeting, which is outreach, then we have law feast, we have workers meeting altogether. Yeah, another meeting again we can look at is leaders meeting, where those who have, you know, specific leadership oversight in local church come together, have it consistently, you know, with all leaders of both churches in Nigeria and UK. Every month, yeah, every month without fail for a couple of years right now, yeah, at least, yeah, twice, hours of hours together, just ensuring that we're having ourselves, our minds realigned in God's will and our focus and vision, and focus on our vision as a local church. Well, I'm going to close it up here altogether, right? I will pick it up again on Sunday. On Sunday, what I want to pay attention to mostly will be what are the things, the intentional things you can do in preparing for meetings. Altogether, what are the intentional things you can do in preparing for meetings? It's very, very important. Yeah, we'll look at how to write notes. Some of you, your notes are like signatures. Altogether, right? You don't write note that way. Altogether, you don't write note that way. You write intentional with the purpose of going back to look at it. One of the things, again, as well, that could help you from Christian meetings is once the meeting is over, try not to wait for an extra 2-3 hours before you go over your notes. Go back to your note and revisit it. On your way to the house, if you're not the one driving, go back to your note, visit your note, go back to it, listen to it, go back again, read the thing. Sometimes when you're reading at that point, that's when some junctions and some things begin to join and begin to connect. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. I'm hoping that you've been instructed and edified by that instruction, right? Until I come away again Sunday, we'll pick it up again on Sunday. Stay joyful, right? Remember, right, there's a calling of God upon your life, right? And one of the things I'm here to do is to help you live in the fulfillment of that. Have a loving night rest. I thank you all as well for those of you who have reached out and celebration for, you know, the anniversary of myself and my wife. So grateful. I appreciate you all dearly. Trusting and looking forward to, you know, us staying firm and faithful to God's will and God's plan for the rest of our lives. Love you all so dearly. Good night. Cheers.